Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris, and with me as always is my co-host, RJ Sines.
There's a rat in my hat who's telling me what to do.
We're your in-house comedy gurus to talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and how did all those birds get into the airport?
Are they traveling? Are they stuck? And
do you know what I mean? There's always that one bird with like one foot missing who's hobbling around the airport, flying around. How'd he get in there?
Tom Hanks in bird form, just forever stuck at the airport.
Doesn't speak English.
The bird terminal. Doesn't speak any English.
He does a lot of work on the bathrooms.
No, but
that has a lot of parallels to that movie.
It's like this kind of weird, ironic thing because
birds can fly,
like born to travel, and they're like at an airport and they're like stuck.
Irony will take you to the bitter end. Today we are talking about that stoner action comedy, Pineapple Express. But before we get into that, we're going to get into the news. But before we get into the news, on a more serious note, we wanted to express our sorrow for the late Don Rickles, Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Warm.
Himself. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know who this is, he was a comedy legend. We found out today that he passed away at the age of 90. And just recently we were talking about AARP making him in a show, putting him in a show. And it just feels like, yeah, this guy was the legend. And we know that he's up in heaven in a comedy club getting mad laughs.
Getting mad laughs. I know. Yeah, you're right. It is crazy. We were just a couple episodes talking about him. We've mentioned him in offensive comedy. We've mentioned him in a couple other episodes.
Yeah.
Gosh, league of his own. And you know what? It's crazy. But like, we were just making jokes. Like, what is he like pushing 90? Like, this is just what happens. Yep. Like, you turn 90, and like he really was the man from like his generation. Like, there aren't a lot of those like comedy like Jerry Lewis is like not far behind him, like no pun intended, but like
I know I feel bad about my shelf life joke because now
I know
it's gone.
But I don't know if you see on Twitter the hashtag that's trending in honor of Don Rickles is hashtag Rickles in Heaven, and it's all these bits about him in heaven doing like stand-up bits.
So good.
He's like, Hey, Helen Keller, show's up here. Come on, eyes over here. Hey, don't you folks worry, Jerry Lewis is right behind me, okay?
Oh my gosh. That's too easy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, we wanted to pay our
Anybody
homage.
Seen Frank? Where's Frank? Ah, I won a bet. I knew he wouldn't be here.
That's so good.
Oh my gosh. Too good. I'll have to put some more links of him in
our
show description. He's just got killer.
We just wanted to pay respect because really when we say a league of his own, you know, that I don't know, I feel like that phrase is tossed around. Really, there was no one like him. There will be no one like him.
Definitely.
So we miss you, Don. All right, so now let's get into the news as moderated by mostly RJ.
Mostly me.
No, most of you.
Most of me.
Is going to moderate.
Just my
this.
Mouth and my heart.
I have 2 ears and a heart, don't I? Yeah. Go for it.
All right, some Netflix news coming at you. I don't know how we did not guess this, but the next comedian to get a stand-up special is Brian Regan. Definitely one of the greats.
Oh, yeah.
Such a unique style. And he just announced his tour dates, which he's going to be recording on the one in Denver in June. So if you're in Denver and you want to be on the recording for the Netflix special, you could get your face in the audience forever.
Whoa.
On Netflix if you go to his show in Denver.
Netflix is forever.
Netflix is forever. You
I didn't
have
know
no
that.
Way of not seeing it for eternity.
Wow.
Do
okay.
People in heaven get Netflix? Is it in the cloud?
The cloud.
I'm still
That's awesome.
I'm still thinking of the Rickles in heaven.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What the hell's up with all these clouds? I wanted sunshine. Could have been in Florida. Now I'm doing
Jerry Stiller.
Jerry Stiller.
All of our bits digress into Jerry Stiller.
Well, once you start doing like that, like classic, like yeah. East Coast guy, East Coast Jew.
Old.
Yeah. Okay.
Brian Regan, good for
Brian
him.
Brian Regan, congratulations.
Grape? I want grape.
Oh. Jerry's second favorite.
It's one of my favorite bits of this.
He's a great
Yeah, man. He's super good. I think he's, unique. You could watch him on mute and I'd still laugh. His friggin' face is so stupid.
His face is great.
Yeah, it's so good.
I can't wait. His tour dates are going to be coming through here. We're probably going to go see him. That would be awesome. Not till like September, but like, hey, it was just September not too long ago. Yeah. So sure enough, we'll go see him soon.
We're going to go to the show, raise our hand in the audience and say, hey, we have like a podcast. Like, could we get like a quick interview while he's on the stage? And we'll see what happens.
Get the hell out.
Is that your Regan?
Yeah. Hey, you get the hell out.
There you go. That's better.
Okay, done with Regan. Some TV news. Hulu has ordered a new variety talk show from Sarah Silverman called I Love You, America. Produced by Funny or Die, Amy Azee, Will Ferrell, and Adam McKay. It's basically a show where Sarah's going to have like honest conversations with different guests, comedians, etc. For people who have different opinions in an attempt to unify people and the audience with like different ideologies. Like from what I read from her is like, she just said, America needs this kind of show now more than ever, where we can have two different ideas and yet, you know, show the humanity in all of us.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So I think that's awesome.
Funny. Is it funny? I mean, I know Sarah Silverman is funny and Funny or Die is funny and Will Ferrell and Adam McKay.
I'm sure there's going to be certainly an element of comedy involved, at least at its core. Okay. I mean, it's hard to remove that.
From what you're describing, I don't see it being like, you know, and now we're going to have this bit, like a Jimmy Fallon bit or something.
We're going to do ragtime to love drunk or whatever.
Something. Robot Bear Talk Show, take two.
Yeah, exactly. that's all I really have for what this show is about. So
I just
sorry.
Immediately went to 30 Rock in my head.
Yeah.
There's too many farts in the fart sheet.
All right, coming back from 30 Rock.
I'm so sorry. I forgot how good 30 Rock is. We did do a 30 Rock episode. Did we do one? We did Tina, didn't we?
No, we did Tina.
Okay.
We'll do 30 Rock later. So yeah, it looks good.
Pretty cool.
I'm not like a crazy Sarah Silverman fan, but I've seen her stand up, and I enjoy her as a human probably maybe more than I like her comedy. I don't know. It's up in the air. She's a great comedian.
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to this show. But lastly, bit of TV news. Unbeknownst to us, the first episode of season 3 Rick and Morty dropped last week, and we had no idea.
Yeah.
We recorded just before it dropped on April Fool's Day, and like the craziest like April Fool's joke reverse joke ever. Which is like, last week we were like, oh man, it could be April 24th, but like we don't know, but it's like speculation, but like whatever. But also like, probably just because we're best friends with Dan Harmon, he told us like, hey, do an episode this week because we're gonna drop season 3 just after you record. So maybe we should do that for other shows where we just like say, okay, we want a season 5 of Arrested Development, let's do another podcast on Arrested Development. And
we already did one, didn't we?
Yeah, so that example doesn't work. Doesn't follow. We're debunked. 1 for 2.
All right, let's get a 9th season of Monk.
Everyone's just itching for that.
Tony Shalhoub's not doing anything good.
Tony Shalhoub's just sitting on royalties.
Serious.
Oh, man.
Okay. That's news to me.
That's crazy. And the episode is perfect. The internet is blowing up with Szechuan sauce memes and Rickstiverse and Phoenix Man. What's his name?
Yeah, what did they call him? No, Phoenix person.
Yeah.
Do you really think that Rick?
And you called it. You called the divorce.
Yes. Oh yes, I totally did.
Insane.
That was so good.
Insane to me. Because I'm like, man, I don't know, Ben. It's like there's divorce and an animated sitcom. Like these are like critical characters.
It was a pretty weak prediction because I didn't be like the next episode they're getting divorced.
I guarantee.
You're wired.
April 1st. You're wired.
But I was just like, I could see them doing that, like breaking them apart. And now that they did it, like, I don't know if it's going to last. So here's maybe prediction number two. Like, I think they're breaking them apart so they can bring them back together in another episode. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's what makes this show so good. Are we doing the Rick and Morty podcast again right now?
Yeah, I'm down to do that. Let's go through episode one. So basically, we open on a shot where Rick is getting his brain
examined.
Do you
really think that he doesn't care about anything, just sexual shots? Like, because remember, he says that, right? Like,
well, this gets really kind of like philosophical, but I think like in Rick not caring about anything, he can care about everything, right? Does that make sense? So like like he doesn't want to care, and he just has trained himself just like, I can shoot anybody, whatever. Yeah. But at the same time, like, there's these nods of like he does care about like the subtleties of his family and like his grandchildren.
Okay, but
and,
you
like,
said being, everything, not everything. He cares about very
right, but like anything
things.
That he wants to. Like, mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like,
but also he can convince himself from an alternate universe that he really doesn't care if Summer gets shot because that's the persona he puts out, even though he really truly does care. And she was never actually going to get shot.
Yeah, and that's because
Morty didn't read that thing on the gun.
Yeah, and that's because I really think like he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't care, yet he can still care. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's now semantic satiation. But we got to get in to what our big topic is this week.
Oh, what is it?
Pineapple espresso.
Espresso. I was going to make the same joke.
No, you
yes,
weren't.
Yes, I was.
You
okay,
jokester.
RJ, could you please provide us with some history, maybe some little background? What do we need to know for pineapple espresso?
So here's all you need to know.
I hope for the longest time I
from
always
a little
thought,
town in Italy where the pineapples grow right on the hilltop.
I always thought, and I worked in a coffee shop, mind you, I always thought it was espresso.
Oh gosh. That's disgusting. Anyway. Excuse me, could I have two espressos?
Coming right up. Every
coffee
espresso.
Snob hates you so much more.
Okay,
now.
Yeah, give us some brief history.
Alright. So basically, Pineapple Express was inspired by Brad Pitt's stoner character in the 1993 film True Romance.
Classic.
Judd Apatow was inspired to create a film where we follow that character out of his apartment and watch him get chased by bad guys. That's basically a starting block. And with that in mind, writers Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen, who had previously worked with Apatow on Knocked Up and Superbad, decided to take another stab at the buddy comedy subgenre.
So good. And I love, you're so right. This is what it is. It's the stoner character getting out of his element. But I also love the just in over their head mentality that is over this whole movie.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll get more into how all that like breaks down. I just think as far as like films go, and we talk more about like why it's funny, but just as like a film, I've just been impressed like how Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg like are pushing the status quo on like what comedies look like in this like new millennial age of writers and producers. I mean, I think they're going to be like the names that are talked about, like Don Rickles, even because of what they have brought into what we know about comedy. You know, you have like these big over the top Ben Stiller, Will Ferrell character comedies, Vince Vaughn character comedies, and now it's like, oh, it's just Jonah Hill and Michael Cera, and they're friends, and they're cute, and they sometimes have like a little friendship time, and it's like funny, and like it's subtle, and it's silly, like that. It doesn't have to be over the top and crazy all the time. Like, there's comedy even in like the reality of life.
I understand what you're saying. At first, I was like, neither of them are in this movie.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking about Superbad, of course.
Okay, yeah,
which I feel like Superbad was like a really big turning point in like that kind of comedy,
right?
Onward, but they do such a good job capturing that, and I'm stoked that we're talking about this film this
week.
Well,
let's get into it. The question is, why is it funny? And here's what we have to say. Pineapple Express is funny because it's a unique and refreshing story that catches the audience by surprise. It perfectly intertwines idiot stoner comedy with action, adventure, violence. We get timeless laughs from an amazingly written script and well-timed physical comedy. Whether it's a ridiculous and crazy gunfight or an intimate friendship moment, Pineapple Express can make us high with laughter. High being the operative word.
Hi.
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 Okay, let's get into it.
I love it. We were already just talking about the movie a little bit, and it's getting me just stoked. I just love how we go 0 to 60.
Uh-huh.
This stoner com that's so obvious. Electric Avenue playing. Seth Rogen. Oh, odelay, odelay. And like,
yeah, man, take that to the next level.
Take it to the next level.
Odelay, odelay. Yeah, okay.
All right. So stupid. And then it just turns into this out of control drug,
yeah,
action, adventure, cop. Because it's like, it's, you look at it and it's kind of like the buddy cop comedy. How you would have two kind of buddy cops and they get into this conspiracy and, yeah, action pursues. But it's not cops. They're way out of their, yeah, element. They don't know what the hell's going on. And they have to deal with, you know, the drug war,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
the cops, murder, like full-on gunfights, yeah, they've never clearly wielded a weapon in their life.
I feel like this is like a mix between, oh, I don't know what I'm mixing in my mind. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I feel like this is a updated Laurel and Hardy movie because I feel like whenever, you know, our two main characters, Dale and Saul, whenever they smoke weed, mm-hmm, they just become goofs who can't get anything right. Almost to the point of like that classic Laurel and Hardy kind of like silent film era comedy where like I'm thinking specifically of they're in the forest and they're like, they were convinced that they've heard something and they're like, mm-hmm, looking around and then they just freak out and
go.
They just run their separate ways and like both of them just get super hurt.
I heard something and then I saw something. I knew it. You didn't say anything. I swear you didn't say anything, okay?
Like, it's so ridiculous. There's so many, yeah, there's so much physicality in this movie that, yeah, is, that it's like so, it's like, it's almost a throwback in the subtleness of the, like, just physical jokes.
Well, and it's just so well contrasted, too, you, yeah, know, because it, like, you don't expect stoners to do anything, like, crazy, like, physical or whatever. So to see, like, a full sprint from Seth Rogen and then, like, James Franco, like, monkey arms, like, flailing around, yeah, in the woods. Like, that is just so funny to see,
yeah,
a 0 to 60 impact moment in this film where, uh-huh, all of a sudden they're going, you know, on the highway with their foot stuck in the windshield.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that image is so classic silent era.
Yeah.
Somebody driving a car with, with like a foot out the door. Yeah, so good.
Totally. Break down some of this plot for me, Ben. So we got Dale Denton, right? Yeah. And
he's a process server.
He's a process server. You've been served. Love that.
You've been served by the best, my friend. So good.
He's got all the disguises. And then,
yeah, this is your classic, your you know, unlucky heroes who stumble into the spotlight and they're forced to like rise to the occasion. But this has got like, you know, the classic, or not the classic, it's introduced with the new idea that they just keep shooting themselves in the foot because they keep getting high and not being,
well,
able to,
it's interesting because it's
role,
like, it's like the action adventure finds the stoner comedy, like that plot finds,
exactly,
Seth Rogen. So the movie trajectory is Seth Rogen gets high, he meets up with his funny drug dealer, they do stupid stuff, he goes to dinner at his girlfriend's house, and it's a stupid movie.
Right.
But what ends up happening in the middle of that is he sees a murder. Mm-hmm. He sees the head drug guy, Ted Jones, shoot like a, you know, another Chinese drug guy, like in his window, and he freaks out.
Yeah.
Oh shoot! Oh crap! Oh no! And he backs up in his car and he hits the car, makes all this commotion, and like him and like the crooked cop like see him and they like,
yeah,
And he throws his roach, his little blunt weedy thing.
Yeah.
And they catch it, and they know that it's Pineapple Express. And that sends them, like, we got to catch this guy. There's only one person in town who I've given Pineapple Express, this very rare weed, to.
Right.
Like, we got to catch him. And, like, that's just so perfect, because if he wasn't a process server, he wouldn't have been there.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't have gotten caught up in this whole thing. But the action adventure finds him.
It's, yeah, you're so right. It's so good. And then in that, their response is always like, just smoke weed.
I know.
And then they just like, they can't get, you know, to that point where they can actually help themselves out. They just,
right.
They just keep digging themselves into a hole. They end up sleeping for 18 hours in the woods. Yeah. They wake up and it's 3, but it was like, it was daylight savings, so it's actually 4.
The daylight savings bit is so good.
It's so good.
So another interesting thing here with this plot is, like, it doesn't necessarily have a clear direction. Like, once the, like, problem starts for him and he, you know, sees the murder, it just keeps chase, like, the idea is now they're being chased and they're right. on the move. They're always trying to go, and you're right, they keep getting into more trouble because
they're
get
in
high,
response yeah. to what they've seen, and
it's all reactionary plot, which yeah. is perfect for this kind of a movie, which I think reactionary plot is like how stoner comedies work typically. But with, you know, the action adventure is very like, then you go to the fight scene and then you go to the final boss battle and then everyone blows up and then it's awesome, which happens.
Right.
But it's still, you know, these two idiots just finding their way in and out of these ridiculous situations.
It's so good. I feel like it is, I love the throwback physicality. And but most importantly, I think, in this is the characters.
Yeah.
Like, there's the subtlety comes in all of the characterizations that they give each other.
Totally.
Because you're already laughing before, you know, like, this action has, like, thrusted itself upon them. Like,
right.
You go and visit, you know, he's just going to buy some more weed from James Franco.
Saul.
And yeah, you go into his little apartment and he's just like, he's watching the Jeffersons. I thought hurricane season was over.
I love that line. It's just like, you get a quick little, like, 5 minutes with him.
He's drinking something and she's like, oh, it looks like my ex-wife was, or it looks like my ex-husband was in here. And he's like, ah! It's so good. He's just like, but my favorite part is that he, like, at his core, he's a drug dealer.
Yes.
Who cares about his grandma.
His bubby.
His bubby. But at his core, he just wants a friend.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have friends.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people want things from him. And yeah. And same with Dale. Like, Dale's just trying to buy weed and get out of there.
And everyone hates him because he's a process server.
Right, yeah.
So, like, what do you do, man? Oh, I'm a process server. Like, do printing or... No, I'm a process server.
No, he's like, no. He goes, I'm a servant of the court. And he goes, like, are you a butler?
You're a butler. That's what it was.
And then he's like, no. Like, you know, I get to serve people, like, different legal documents. He's like, yeah, I just, like, chill in my car, smoke weed all day, and then, like, you know, do a little bit of work. He's like, what? You can smoke weed all day? I'm so jealous. He's like, what?
That's what do you do.
And he's like, ah, you're right, man.
And that's character, like, James Franco just gives such a believable performance. He got nominated for a Golden Globe for
he
that.
He does. Really, I love his character and the way he characterizes
it. It's so funny, too, because, I mean, he does hit all, like, the key characteristics of, like, the stoner drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. He, with that undertone of, like, he just wants a friend.
He just wants a friend.
Like, that really... is shown as, like, the subtext for a lot of his motivation.
Yeah, and really, he thinks Dale is cool.
Yeah.
Because there's the other guys that come in with, like, the jean shorts. And he's like, gosh, man, like, lingers, man. And they were, like, the most cordial, like, In-N-Out people. And he's just like,
You got any Percocet?
So no, I don't lame. Got any Percocet! You told him I was gonna give him Percocet? Oh,
get out of
so
here!
So dumb. But, I love it so much. He throws up on his printer.
Yeah.
After he witnesses a murder.
Up.
He comes back in and throws
Oh my God!
I'm going to throw up.
He killed him! Oh my God! Which I'm going to take a brief pause. If you don't know who Seth Rogen is, like, you've seen his crazy face. And right. His voice is unparalleled. It sounds like a 1960s cartoon monster from like Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, like put his finger in a light socket.
Like Scoob, here comes the giant swamp monster. Oh, here I come. Oh!
You're so right.
But he's just so funny. And what he can, like, I mean, he's in a lot of movies where he is, like, that typical character, like, mm-hmm. straight guy, Seth Rogen. But I don't know if there's a movie that he's in where he's yelling as much. Yeah. And he's, like, as frantic and, yeah, like, manic and crazy. And that's what I love. I don't like subtle Seth Rogen. I like crazy, animated, yelling. What are you talking about? I just saw a murder. Like, get out of here. Go, 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 go.
He throws up on his printer. That's such a good joke. He's like, hey, man, my printer.
Is it broken?
I don't think so.
Yeah, and so them together are just such a silly dynamic of friends uh-huh. that are just they're two Inspector Clouseaus, like, who've wandered yeah. onto the set of an action comedy and action adventure, like serious yeah. like Tom Cruise, like Minority Report drama, and now they're getting chased by like really legit dudes that yeah. will just straight up kill you. Like Craig Robinson, who looks so scary in this film.
I was gonna say two of my other, I mean, I think Saul is my number one favorite character of this movie, James. But then, yeah, Craig Robinson's character is really funny too. Like he has that like subplot of like his partner and him, like he's really thankful for his partner.
Yeah.
Like even though they do terrible stuff together, he's like, man, like, I know you have my back.
Yeah.
And that guy's like, just like,
I knew you're going. So
he's like, I'm trying to get home to my like family.
Yeah.
Like that guy doesn't care about him.
Yeah.
And then Red is so good. Red is like, they were like, oh, we got Danny McBride. Like, let's just like trash him.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, I'm really not IMDb in this one, but I can't think of a movie before 2008 where he was such a centerpiece. Does that make sense?
Danny McBride?
Yeah. Before 2008.
Was a centerpiece.
Like, he's a critical point in this film.
Yeah,
sort of. He doesn't get as much screen time in any other film. He's not like a main character in that sense.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm saying is, to see him on screen for the first time, like, it was just totally out of the box. Like, he brings some unique Danny McBride element to his mm-hmm. characters that not a lot of people do, which I love, which is like the clueless, aggressive person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'll bake a cake because my cat died. I do whatever I want. Like,
did this come out
in 08?
Yeah. Did it come out? I thought Hot Rod was before it.
I think Hot Rod might be maybe 2009 or
7, 2007.
No way.
Yeah. Because I remember like that was my introduction to Danny McBride. And
it's my hat now. It's totally my hat.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. Wait, no. Well, I think I just misquoted.
No.
Everything.
Yeah.
He says something about Mountain Dew, but I think I just quoted Ricky Bobby.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
That's funny. No. I've been drinking green tea all day. Yes. You're going to bring the demons out of me.
That's exactly it.
Eat some trash.
But yeah, this was the second movie I saw him in, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I feel like they just use him so well, where he is that mid-level person. He doesn't get as much screen time as some of the other characters, even as much as Craig Robinson, but his moments are so good because like that fight when they first go
that
over there.
First fight is brilliant.
It's so good.
And that really is like, I mean, we keep talking about that clash of genre
uh-huh.
for these two characters, or two main characters. That scene, it all comes to a close when it's like, this is clearly a stoner comedy. They're joking about the dead cat who they're making a birthday present for. Red is clearly lying.
Yeah.
And Seth is like, don't you see? He's lying. Yeah. He's totally lying. And like James Franco's like, what are you talking about? Like,
oh
he's
my
fine.
Gosh. Yeah. His character is like, if he has a friend, then he is incapable of seeing anything bad.
He calls him earlier and gives him like all their information.
Yeah, it's so good. But like, I feel like you keep finding our two main characters in these like unbelievable situations that are like, oh my gosh, this is really happening.
This is real.
Like, like they get in a fight with Danny McBride, and it's so ridiculous. He throws an ashtray
at his head,
and like at one point, isn't his high school girlfriend's dad shooting at them?
Yes,
like those unbelievable moments are what make this movie gold, because you just are in the seat as the audience going, what is this really happening? Oh my gosh.
I love, like, and this fight scene too, like that first fight scene, they just get like the best physical comedy, like timing in there. And it's so well shot. It's this small little room of an apartment, but they utilize like everything. They're moving everywhere. They're throwing each other bars. They're like kicking the door in. They smash the door in over him. I just love like the intro to the fight scene where Red hucks a friggin' ashtray, like full glass ashtray
at his dome.
And then he slaps James Franco, just full slap, and spits in his face.
Yeah, he's like, oh, herpes.
Oh, herpes. Like, that's your comment. Like, this is going down, and you're worried about herpes. So good. So then they're, I love the full swing around with the giant bong to the back of his head.
He tries to flush the phone down the toilet.
Yes. The best, so I think it all comes to a close with Seth Rogen throwing him through the wall.
Yeah.
But the best is he doesn't see Red get hit in the head with the bong. So he's like dozy. He's like, this is my cat's birthday today.
Yeah.
I'm going to bag him a cake. And Seth Rogen's like, that is it. This ends now. And takes him and throws him into the wall as hard as possible.
Oh, gosh.
Like, totally looks like it killed him.
Yeah.
But then they just like duct tape him down. Which is like, I love Red because
that would
like
hurt my neck so bad.
Almost dies like 6 times.
Yeah, he gets shot.
He like then the two bad guys, Craig Robinson and Matheson come back and they just shoot him.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh." He's back and they shoot him again in the stomach and he looks for real dead. And then later Seth Rogen comes back and he's just like in the bathtub like dying. He's like, "We got to take you to hospital, man. What are you doing?"
But that's another one of my favorite parts is when they shoot Red for the first time, like that they're back and forth. It's the guy who voices Sid the Sloth, I can't remember his name, and Craig Robinson.
That's him?
Uh-huh.
Oh wow.
I can't remember his name.
Here, I'll look it up. You keep talking.
Yeah, yeah. And they're going back and forth with like their little dynamic, which is he's like, "Whoa, man! Like you just shot him. How about what happened to a little indiscretion?" He's like, "Indiscretion? You used to never care about indiscretion. I synced it.
I don't think this guy was Sid the Sloth. It's Kevin Corrigan.
Oh, maybe I'm totally wrong.
Yeah, I think you're off, bro. He's like not Sid. I'm like,
Sid the Sloth is John Leguizamo. Yeah, it's this. I'm sorry, this is the wrong guy.
I'm out. Yeah.
Okay, so not Sid the Sloth.
Sorry,
I get him mixed up with Ray Romano, and then Ray Romano. What's the real guy's name?
Kermit the Frog.
No. Who played the character? You just looked at it.
Justin Corrigan.
Okay.
I literally don't remember. I just looked it up and like literally, I just said literally twice in the same sentence. Kevin Corrigan. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Backtracking. He gone soft and then he just shoots him.
Yes. Okay, what is he in? Oh, he's in. I'm so sorry. I need to do this for my mind. He's in like Law and Order and Blue Bloods.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Hey, this is good podcasting I'm doing right now.
Yeah, everyone take out your phone and look up Kevin Corrigan.
Was he in Dexter? No, he wasn't.
Well, I know his like Google headshot looks like a serial killer. Or like a ad for Spanish cologne.
Okay. So, yes. What else do we have in this movie? At the end, it all comes to the explosive conclusion, right?
Yeah, that's it. Great job, everyone. We were just talking about how the physical comedy works so well and the timing of all that, and Red, who gets shot so much and he just keeps coming back, and like even in the end, like clearly he should have died.
He's lost a
in
lot
that
of
explosion
blood.
And like at the end of the movie,
oh right,
he's, like,
right
dying off. hey, buddy, you okay? Like, what's going on?
All right, let's get him to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that at the end, the little debrief.
Yeah.
They're like, ugh. And we became friends, too. Like, that was a pretty powerful day.
Yeah, that kills me. Like, because you can have these crazy, crazy big action gunfights, like that warehouse gunfight, which has some really funny fight moments. And then, you know, it all comes to a close with them at, you know, the Denny's or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're just friends. And they're just being silly, being friends. It's very casual. And that just kills me. Like, it's the comedy is in it all. It's in how crazy things can get, where he gets, friggin' Dale gets shot by Craig Robinson, a chunk of his ear comes off.
Oh yeah.
And then later, what's his face? Ted Jones is like fighting him and goes to bite his ear.
Yeah.
But it's the like chunk the off his ear bit. Yeah. And he's like, oh, it's like all bloody and gross. Could you even imagine, like, the one time in your life you're in a fight, you're like, I'm going to bite this guy's ear.
It's already gone.
And it's already, like, just bloody and, mangled. Like, pussy and just disgusting. You get little bits of ear in your mouth. You just throw up on the spot.
I love the, like, realization that Dale comes to when he, like, you know, we're not going to smoke weed anymore. Like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? And then that is what gives them the courage at the end of the movie to come back and, like, save the day.
Yeah.
And they basically, like, get caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
Between two drug cartels that are, like, going to kill each other.
Seriously.
And they bring down the whole thing.
Yeah. I think one of the most, like, hilarious sequences is when they get arrested for selling weed to those minors.
Yeah.
And like the cop,
the big black lady.
Yeah. I saw those kids back there. The eyes were as red as the devil's dick. You are under arrest. You are going downtown. Like, no. It's like a drug war. And it like explains it all. But then friggin' Saul tries to save him. He's got double slushy hands. And the cop hits him and the slushies go all over the windshield. Yeah. So it looks like she killed a guy, like just blood all over the windshield. Then he steals the cop car. And they're getting chased by the crooked cops, and so they're trying to evade him.
Good.
That scene is just hilarious. And then he has one foot stuck in the windshield. I know we already talked about it, but I just think it's so
gold.
Funny.
No,
how do you
totally
drive
gold.
A car? You have
you can't.
Your left foot.
And he
on
says
the
that.
Ground.
He's like, he goes, kick it out. I don't know how to drive with one foot. Kicks it, gets stuck.
And eventually he's driving, he's like, I can see through my foothole.
Yeah. I made the foothole, I can see again. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so
I love that. I love the like little like delights that they have in the tiny victories that like don't actually mean anything.
You're saving me. I'm saving you. Yeah, you're my best friend. I'm saving you. I can hear everything that you're saying right outside. Shut up. So what do you something that I wanted to make a point to talk about is the interesting range of gun violence comedy. So like you can there'll be jokes where someone gets shot and they die and like that's like funny, or like Craig Robinson gets shot and he's like in pain, like he's like,
right,
that hurts, man, I've never been shot before,
yeah,
that really hurts. And like that's funny because like you don't expect him to be that way. But then like there's Red, who like gets shot multiple times and like almost keeps dying and then like keeps coming back and getting shot again. And then, you know, the jokes where they can't shoot a gun, or when Red and what's his face, Dale Denton are getting prepped to go to the giant gunfight. And they're getting all the guns.
Yeah.
Oh, I got this little gun when I was a prostitute. And they're just like faking out. Like this little montage. And I'm going, don't stop that. I think almost every time I have a gun, I have to do that.
Yeah.
Don't just point it.
Yeah.
Don't.
This is so good.
But that's just such.
So I love all those little montages too. Like
them
with the kids when he's like, he's doing the worm all slow. And like, they just like, helpless.
So, but don't you think that's weird, like the ways that guns are used differently to be like almost like a joke almost at every point?
Well, they use them really in a smart way, where like, you know, most action comedies, not stoner action comedies, but just plain old action comedies, this will you know, your unlikely hero will get thrusted into this situation, and then he'll start shooting the bad guys, right?
He's just right.
taking them out. Well, that's not very realistic. Like, if you've never used a gun before and you pick up a gun, like, it's going to be very surprising,
yeah.
like, the kick, and it's not something that you just, like, it's not something you just pick up and do.
Exactly.
And so this is, they just nail it on the head, like, two stoned out dudes, like, this is what would happen. And I love, yeah, even the people that, like, know how to shoot a gun, shoot somebody, and then it's, like, a very real response. Like, either right. their head blows up and somebody throws up on a printer.
Exactly.
Or they, like, all of a sudden realize, like, oh, my gosh, this hurts so bad. Or, like, Red is just, like, he's more, like, he's, like, betrayed. Like, you shot me.
Yeah.
Why did you shoot me? I can't believe you shot me.
Yeah.
He's like, I had you for dinner. So good.
And I think that, like,
he's more mad.
I think you're right on. I think it's almost more funny to have, like, really unqualified realistic. Losers be the protagonists in this
totally.
Action adventure. Because then it's, like, so much more room for anything to be funny because they shouldn't be successful.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have any degree of achievement in this film.
And when they fall ass backwards into success, you like are so much more stoked because you're like, they had no chance, but they did it.
No chance in hell.
I love it. Down in the bunker when like Seth Rogen jumps on Ted, he's like,
clearly like a pulley system. Like, there's no way Seth Rogen can jump that far. I'm so sorry if he hears this and gets upset, but he would also agree. There's no way he can jump like that. Any human just a spider monkey jump like that, like,
and be fine.
Just
like,
takes him to the ground.
He would not hit the guy. He would just hit the ground.
Yeah, and that's, I love their realistic. I mean, obviously there's unrealistic elements, but like the very realistic points where like, you know, they punch someone, they're like, ow, my hand, like that hurts. Or
like at the end of the movie, like, what Dave Franco, James Franco's character has a full dried bloody nose.
Right.
What's his name's missing an ear. And Red is like about to die. And he's got a neck brace on. Like, it's very real. If you get hurt in this movie, it's going to be shown.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think, oh, gosh, I totally lost my train of thought. I forget anything that I just said there.
It's fine. So, like, the violence is just used to perfection in this movie.
Absolutely. There isn't a moment wasted, and I think what you end up having is a film that just keeps going and you're laughing. I have like full, like I guess I haven't seen it in like 5 years maybe. I was doing belly laughs just rewatching this.
Oh, totally, because like I said, those moments are just so unbelievable. You're like, "What? He's got his foot stuck in the windshield." So good.
Yeah.
And there was surprising laughs every time I watch it. I'm like, "Oh my gosh."
Yeah, and we talked about this with Ferris Bueller. Like, those timeless moments of comedy are in there because the characters are truly believable in that situation.
Absolutely.
Every single time.
Absolutely.
And that's...
I'll say that till the day I die.
It's still...
Good characters.
So funny to see...
Good comedy.
A scared, yelling, running Seth Rogen trip and hit his head on a rock or something.
And then in the next scene, blowing weed into a worm.
A little caterpillar.
Yeah.
Also, on a cinema... Cinematographical note.
Whoa.
Cinematographical? Is that a word? I don't know. Google it. It's very well shot.
The cinematography?
My ear just went out. Did you do something weird?
The whole ear?
Oh, yeah. That was weird. My whole left ear went out.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's good now.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, it's really well shot. The cinematography is...
I'm sorry, I'm going to say my line. The cinematography?
The cinematography is delicious.
You liked that?
I think it looks like really well done, and that's not why it's funny, but I think it helps.
Yeah, they're not messing around in this movie.
Edgar Wright shoots his films well, and that's a whole part of the comedy. Oh, you know what I was thinking of? That I was like,
this isn't Edgar Wright, is it?
No. This isn't Edgar Wright. Edgar Wright didn't do this.
Okay, I was like... You just said Edgar Wright.
I mean,
because
we had talked about Sean Depp before,
how
his cinematography.
It's important
like, adds.
To shoot things well. Yeah. I was like, what? No, what? No, what?
Total side tangent, but I have to say it because if I don't, I'll regret it. when you hit someone in the face with a hot pot of coffee, that is so dangerous. And to see like what actually happens,
yeah, sure,
was so satisfying. I look like a hamburger. Which is funny, because when I first saw him, like, you look like someone put, like, Hamburger Helper on your face, not the Hamburglar. The Hamburglar is like a bandit. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like a mix between the two.
Yeah.
That's good.
Anyways.
That's what we got for Pineapple Express.
So good.
Shout out to, I forget his name, the guy who requested some Judd Apatow movies.
Yeah, this definitely counts for partial credit. I would love to do a full episode on Judd Apatow.
On the Apatow.
There's a lot to cover. But nope,
but yeah, this one goes out to you.
He's definitely had his hands in a lot of great movies just like this, and love talking about it.
Yeah, but I'm saying the whaler that requested it, this one's to you, baby.
Yeah, baby.
I don't remember his name, baby.
His name was Baby.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was
Baby. Well, since we're digressing into babies, it's time for Ben's A Wiggity Wacky Facts.
Okay.
Wacky. You know what that sound means. It's time for the part of the show where I talk about some facts that maybe or may not be wacky, and then RJ rates them using sports, which he is professional at. Yep. Ready?
Born ready.
What? Okay, here's fact number one. While filming the scene in which Saul runs into a tree, James Franco actually became super overzealous and ran into a tree, causing him to get 3 stitches. So that was not Pratt. Like, that was full real.
That's amazing. It looks real. Like, I believe it. Like,
I actually didn't think it looked real because his thing happened second. Like, Dale trips and hits his face on a rock, and you're like, oh
yeah,
oh my gosh. And then Saul runs into a tree, and I was like, oh, they just threw that in there. But no, that's full real. You got stitches.
That's so perfect. All right, so we got Judd Apatow up to bat. Side tree, he's got a really funny stand-up joke about him throwing the first pitch. He's throwing the pitch.
Okay.
James Franco is up to bat. Judd Apatow throws the ball. James Franco, boom, hits it. It goes straight for the third baseman's face, cracking him on the head, falls flat on his head. But the ball's like lodged like in between like his hat and like his cranium, so they can't like get it out. And like James Franco's running around the bases like really, really fast. And he's coming around third, and he's going, and he goes to slide, and he just, boom, hits his head right onto the home plate. And the ump's looking. He's like, I don't know. It looked real. It looked like he got a home run. I can't tell. Whatever.
That's the call.
Why can't we be friends? I don't know why I was
nice.
Doing that. So, yeah.
Pretty wacky, huh?
It was a home run, but the ump couldn't tell.
Couldn't tell it was a home run. That's good. Well, then here's wacky fact number two, more pain. When James Franco's character, Saul, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
Seal.
Yeah. When he smashes the bong over Danny McBride's head, it was supposed to be, it was sugar glass, which is a fake type of breakaway, basically glass that you can use. And therefore, you don't have to use a stunt double. You can use actual Danny McBride.
Yeah.
What they didn't think about is that when you make a bong look like a bong, you have to pour some water in it. And if you fill sugar glass with water, it's basically like getting it in the head with a hammer. And Danny McBride was pretty injured after the real take that they used.
No.
This is like, that's most really of these facts funny. Are just like they hurt each other.
They didn't know and they actually did hurt
yeah,
themselves.
Yeah, like think about it. Like sugar glass, you've used it before, right? It's just,
yes.
It's just like you smash and it's fun. It gives away really easily. But if you feel that, like it's going to be solid.
I get the concept. You've explained so it quite well now
so
twice.
Good. Okay.
Side trick. You and I tried to make sugar glass one time.
We did try.
And it didn't work.
We ended up with
rock nice. Candy.
Yeah, nice little
very tasty
tray of
very
sadness.
Very tasty. So we got Danny McBee up to bat with a very classic sugar glass bat. Judd Apatow is pitching again for the Yankers. and he goes to throw the ball, and Danny McBride swings, and boom, he hits it, and the bat shatters at the same time, but it doesn't matter. He's still running. The ball's going straight up in the air. He's running second. He's running third, and then the ball shatters because it was made of sugar glass, and the ref's like, whoa, man, like, I guess that's probably at least 2 points.
Wow, two points. Excellent. Wow, that's pretty wacky.
It was wacky, man. That's crazy.
Here's wacky fact number 3. James Franco's line, "This smells like God's vagina," was originally an improv.
Oh, totally.
By Seth Rogen. James Franco, during a cut of takes, said, "Oh, that's not funny. Don't say that." And then used it in the next take.
No way.
Isn't that so good?
That's great.
That's
and
like
they
good,
keep it.
Good friendship.
That's funny.
So look for Rogan's reaction when he says it smells like God's vagina.
I'm trying to remember it, and not that anything really stands out, but that's funny. That's good. And that's very wacky. And here is it rated very accurately, and I'm not stalling. Seth Rogen is up to bat, and James Franco goes to throw the pitch. Seth Rogen swings, hits it, and it's going, and that's a home run for Seth Rogen. So crazy, so wacky. But wait, what's going on? The refs table, they've got their arms up. What's going on, refs?
The refs table.
They have a table.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, for refs.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like all, you know, talking to each other, and they look at the replay camera, and they hold up the question mark sign, which means I think that was meant to be James Franco's up to bat. And they were like, what?
James Franco was up to bat.
I thought Seth Rogen was up to bat.
No. Seth Rogen was pitching.
Did I say that backwards?
Yeah.
Dang it. Perfect analogy ruined. Basically, the call was, it was the other guy's point.
Nice. Home run?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like for the other guy.
Sorry
like
to ruin your fun.
I thought I said it right.
That's good.
Whatever, man.
All right. Well, those are all the facts that I have. Do you have any facts?
Other than the fact
Never.
That.
Never.
Okay, bye.
So that means it's time for hashtag whale mail of the week.
No facts here. Just questions. This week's whale mail reads, "Hey, whale boys. There are so many stand-up comedians on Netflix. Which one should I listen to? Lexit." Oh, Lexi T.
Lexit?
Yeah. Freshen your Lexit, governor!
Lexi T. Lexit.
Yeah. It's a classic wordplay.
Well, Lexi.
Thank you for writing in.
Yes, thank you so much.
Much appreciated. There are many stand-up comedians on Netflix, as you might have heard, Ben.
From
and
us.
Lexi. From us, from the internet. No, if you just go to stand-up comedy tab on Netflix, there's like 100 options.
Ah.
Ben, what would you recommend for Lexit?
Straight out of the gate, I say you have to listen to Bo Burnham.
Ooh, yeah.
What's his one called?
Make Happy.
Make Happy, yes. So good. I was just recently rewatching it, and I re-fell in love with "Look at me, I'm pandering." His like made-up country song.
Made-up country song.
A cold beer, a cold night, cold jeans. Oops, I scratched that last one.
Yeah,
so good. He's really talented.
The last laughing. Part of his show, he has on his YouTube channel. Like he just has.
I catch
that
you watching
clip.
It all the
oh,
time.
Yeah. Ben just comes over. I'm just watching it. Hey, who let you in? I have a key. No, get out. So that's a good bit. Just he does this whole like performance. It's a whole performance. It's a great art. I would also recommend Neil Brennan's Three Mics.
Tres Mics.
Yeah. Tres Microfones. It's Neil Brennan, stand-up comedian, also famous writer of The Chappelle Show.
Oh, nice.
Longtime Chappelle friend and writer. And he does this really interesting bit, well, show, I guess, where there's three mics and like each one will be differently lit depending on what he's doing. So I think one is stand up.
Okay.
Another one is like one liners.
Okay.
And another one is like real talk, like real interesting, like revelations or confessions.
Okay.
So it's this interesting dynamic that, like, him as the comedian kind of, like, paints himself as. Is like, look at, like, here's what I do. Like, I make jokes. Uh-huh. But also, like, I'm a real person. And, like, I'm sad.
Let's have a dialogue.
And also just, like, joke robot. Like,
okay.
One-liners. So is this whole range of, like, really interesting, funny That's ideas. Interesting. Like, really stupid, funny one-liners that he even, like, sometimes jokes about how dumb they are. And then, like, really raw, honest, like, conversations about, like, problems he's had with his dad and, like, and all this stuff. And I loved it. I thought it was just
cool.
Just as, if not as inspiring as the Make Happy special from Bo Burnham.
What's his name again?
Neil Brennan.
I'm going to have to give that a good old watch and listen.
Yeah, it's really good. Would recommend. Would view again.
Wow. Well, RJ, if you are a person, and I have no reason to believe that you are, where would you go to find us on the internet?
You can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, or Stitcher. Also, we're a part of the Pod Tyrant Network, so go to podtyrant.com or geektyrant.com to hear about more awesome podcasts about movies, TV shows, popular culture, cinematic sound radio, nerds and nostalgia, stuff for movie buffs, all kinds of great stuff.
Why am I laughing?
We're there too, of course, yep. Like I had said previously. be sure to check out our Twitter page, at WhalePod, our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? And don't forget to email us at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. Send us anything. We read it. Questions, concerns, recommendations.
Lexits.
Corrections. We've had some corrections in the past.
Yeah.
We're wrong. We're willing to be wrong, but also not really. So keep it to a minimum.
Bo Burnham. Yeah. If you want to follow RJ's personalized Twitter, you can follow him at Rodolfo the Brown.
And if you want to follow Ben's Twitter, you can find him at Helen Keller Eyes Up Here.
You know what I just realized?
Helen Keller is blind and deaf. Spoiler alert.
And mute, right?
Oh, wait. No. She's just blind and deaf. She can't hear and she can't see.
Well, she but, like, probably can't speak.
A product of speak. Yeah. I think she could, like, formulate
sentences. Okay, let's not
sentences.
Get into it. Yeah, okay.
We'll do her next week on the podcast.
Here's what I just realized. People have no idea that your first name is Rodolfo. I mean, I say Rodolfo the Brown every week on the show.
That's true.
But they're like, what is that?
What's Adolfo? And what's Ro? And why is it brown? No, that's my full name, folks, is Rodolfo.
Yeah.
I'm a Mexican. So that's my name. And I've been going by RJ since I was born.
That's true. But yeah, I just was looking at that. I was like, huh, if somebody's, like, really trying to find you, that how are they going to spell Rodolfo?
Well, I put it in the Twitter description.
Okay.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
You're going to put it in this week. You can check back every Why Am I Laughing Wednesday for a new episode, and it will be there waiting for you hot and fresh out the kitchen.
And speaking of hot and fresh out the kitchen,
Mama rolling that body.
Okay.
Got every man in here wishing.
All right. I'm uncomfortable now. Thank you.
I'm sipping on Coke and rum. How did you not catch that I was quoting the late, great R.
I'm
Kelly?
I'm just trying to plug our new Patreon page.
Okay, go for it.
We are now launching our Patreon page, which if you haven't heard of Patreon, it's basically this great place for up-and-coming independent artists to be like, hey, if you want to support us, you can give us as little as less than a dollar, just change you'd find under a park bench,
mm-hmm.
or as much as you'd like because you love us. But basically the idea behind it is we want to give you guys more content, but we also don't have as much time for that content.
Yeah.
So there'll be a whole list of options for our subscribers, and obviously the higher up you are on the scale, the more content you're able to receive, and we'll put the link in the description. I'm sure it's just patreon.com/ yeah. Why Am I Laughing?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. If you like what we do and want to support us, there's the option, and you can chuck in as little as a buck a month, and we'll be over the moon.
Yeah, anything is great.
Yeah,
but
well, that's what we got.
Thank you.
So we're gonna end our show the way we always end our show, with the age old saying.
Please give us money. Oh, sorry. wrong one.
Yeah.
Different. Please, could I have some money?
There it is. Comedy is all about...
I'm going right down to Electric Avenue. And then we take it higher.